Let us just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the word of God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you've got a Bible, would you turn with me to Genesis, the first book, and the fourth chapter, and the first verse. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, we are dealing with the beginning of time. A woman, it is said in the Bible, was taken out of the side of the man who God had created of the dust of the earth. That is simply a fact. If you took the chemicals making up your body, they would add up to something like 500 pounds worth. And we're just simply made of this earth. And God says he took the first woman out of the side of the man. This woman then sinned. She allowed the serpent, who was Satan, to speak to her, to tell her God didn't love her, and that God was planning evil against her, and that she should eat of the tree which God said she wasn't to eat of. Because, said Satan, the moment you eat of it, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil, you'll know everything. Well, the man and the woman took the fruit and ate it. And God came and said to them, very clearly, what is it that you've done? And made them tell him. And they confessed that they'd eaten the fruit. The man, he made some excuses, but he did at least confess it. It's a very difficult thing to confess sin. Now, after that, God punished them all. And God said to the serpent, upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed and thy seed. He then punished the man, saying that the ground would bring forth thistles and thorns to him, and he punished the woman by saying that her desire would be to her husband, he would rule over her, and in sorrow she'd bring forth children. So God punished them for what they'd done. And all of us ever since have been sinners who deserve punishment. All of us, everyone, there's no difference in that. Some are bad sinners, some don't look so bad, but all have rebelled and sinned against God. Every single one. Now, this same woman had a baby, the first baby to come into the world. And after the sheer pain and excruciating agony of it, as the baby was given to her, she exulted. And she said, I've gotten, it's the American word they use, it's our old word, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, that means we know Eve will be in heaven. Why? Because you get to heaven by faith, not by what you do. Now God had promised her a seed, and she saw that she had the seed, and she thought this was the one who would defeat Satan. So, with great earnestness, she said, I have gotten a man. Now nobody had ever seen a baby grow up then. Nobody. This was the first baby ever born into the world. But she could see, she'd been made from a man, and she could see that God had promised her a man. So she took it, that promise. Furthermore, when she said it, she said, I have gotten a man child from the Lord. The word means with the Lord. She means Jehovah, God has been my helper in bringing forth this child. So she trusted God. Now the moment you simply put your trust in God, then you go to heaven. There's no other way of going to heaven. And you show it by your words. Jesus said, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The Bible says, therefore let thy words be few. Thou art a man upon earth, and God is in heaven. Now, this woman then had a child. Do you know what the word Cain means? It means bought, or possessed, or belonging to her, and out of that you get it that it was created. because it was a creation of her own. She had created a child, just as God had created the world. And you can see that if you were to look, which you haven't time to do, in Genesis 14, where God is called the possessor of heaven and earth. And twice in verse 19 and 22, and that word possessor is the very word she used, that she'd gotten, she'd got, she'd possessed, she'd created a man. Now, at that moment, she and her husband thought they'd won against the serpent. So they were very, very happy. And they called him Cain, meaning we've got him. Some people recently have tried to change that to a metal worker and all sorts of things. It doesn't work. It means just what it says there. Now, the woman went on, and she had another son. And God was in this. Now, by that time, she could see life was a very difficult affair outside the garden where God had turned them out because of their sin, and they were having to till the ground and get harvest. And so she called him vapor or vanity or nothing, Abel. Now, do you see how the family was? The oldest son was greatly honored. He was the seed she'd looked for. The youngest son was nothing. Now, they made the oldest son into the gardener, the farmer, and the keeper of the ground. That was the great thing God had told them to do, so that he got the pride of place in their hearts and in the job. The younger son was made a keeper of sheep, and he kept sheep. Now, at the end of days, that word probably means after 7 days, because the days they numbered, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the Sabbath day, at the end of days they brought a sacrifice. Now, we know that men began to call upon the name of the Lord in this chapter, and that means that they made worship to God, and he brought a sacrifice. Now, This is where the lads began to show what God meant. You see, God often means the opposite to other people. Other people judge by appearances and by the outside of us. God judges by the heart. God looked at the sacrifice of Cain, which was turnips and cabbages and everything you grow in the ground, wheat and gourds and all the rest. He just gathered it. It just says he brought to the ground. He didn't get special food. He just piled up a pile and gave it to God. Now, Abel was different. Abel went to his flock and he chose out the choicest, best of his sheep. And he took the best part of it, the fat. Well, if you think the fat's the worst part, and all ladies do today, in fact, if you were to go among the desert Arabs in the old days when they were very poor, the one thing they loved was fat. And if they had a feast that dripped in fat, they might only have two or three feasts in their whole lifetime, but the fat poured off, and they ate the fat as fast as they could, because they had very little to eat. Now, when he brought the fat to God, he brought the very best part of his best animal to God. Do you see what a difference there was between the two? One of them, the one who they disregarded, brought the very best because God was in this. And the one who they thought was wonderful just brought ordinary stuff. He didn't care. Now, God is set out to prove parents and children and all our families are wrong. We have certain views which God intends to correct. The main view that people have today is if they do their best, and that's what Cain was saying, well, I've only pulled up the ordinary things, I've only cut down the ordinary bits, I've done my best. If they do their best, they'll get to heaven. Abel was quite different. He said, there's nothing good enough for God, I can't do it, and I'll give him this. Now, the Bible says that Abel was a righteous man. It says it in Hebrews 11. And it's the first example it gives of a righteous man. That means God made him righteous. What do I mean? Well, I don't know if Abel understood this or not, because he was very, very early in the world. But God demands for every sin blood. There is no other payment for sin but blood. Blood, your blood, or the blood of Jesus, because ultimately the seed of the woman was Jesus Christ. Thousands of years after that, they had to wait a long, long time. And we are waiting a long time for Jesus to return. But the whole point of being here is we're waiting for Jesus to return. And one day he will return. Whatever the world thinks, suddenly the sky will open. There'll be the sound of the archangel and the trumpet. Myriad hosts will come with him. And it says that the tribes and kindred of the earth will wail because of him. They'll see that they've been utterly wrong, and all they'd banked on was wrong. And we shall rise up to meet him in the air, and we shall be glorified, and we shall be so happy. Oh, it'll be a wonderful day when my Saviour comes. Now, we have to wait a long time, because 1,000 years with the Lord is as an evening gone. And an evening is like 1,000 years to God. It's no different. He doesn't go by time like we do. Well, now, here was this woman. Here was this man. Here were their two boys, and God overturned their thinking. Have you ever broken somebody's dreams? I believe sometimes the cruelest thing you can do to anyone is break their dreams. Because all of us live in a dream world. Inside us, we have infinity. God created us with infinite minds. We can see up into the universe, we can see into the past and the future, we can think about things, and we live in this world, and that's what keeps us going. And once hope is dead, we're dead. We might as well lie down and die. Now, God broke their dreams. And the first thing God does with any man, if he's dealing with him, is breaks his dreams. Just smashes them on the floor. There they were. Eve must have cried that day because Cain wasn't accepted. Now, when Cain wasn't accepted, what did he do? He says he was wroth. Do you know what it really means in the old words? He was very hot. He got hot under the collar. He was angry. And do you know what it says also? His countenances fell. Now, it means all his faces fell. You and I think of the face as one. The Jews thought of the face as the nose being part of it, and the chin part, and the cheeks part, and the eyes part, and the forehead part. So they called it faces to make one face. And this man, his face got angry. Now, I want to tell you something. We read today that anger is the sin of murder. And Cain had murder in his heart. Who was he going to murder? His mother? Never. His brother. He hated his brother for it. He loathed him. Now, why did he loathe him? Well, we'll go to that in a minute. Now, God saw that Cain hadn't been accepted in his sacrifice, and Abel had been accepted. We don't know how. But they knew it. Everybody knew it. And at that moment, God did something. He spoke. Now, whenever we sin, and I believe this is true from a child to it's Stalin or Hitler or anyone, God speaks. We can suppress that voice, or we can let it go and refuse to think about it, or we can listen to the voice. But you see, when Adam went wrong, God said, "Where art thou, Adam?" And he said, "What is this you've done?" He's always questioning. Now, God questions you. And if you have no questions from God in your heart, then you're not really his. You're something different. You're masquerading as his. Well, God always questioning me. I found a great questioning going on in my heart all the time. Now, God questioned Cain, and God wanted an answer from him. Why? Because Cain had done something. Cain said to his brother, "Let's go out to the field." They went out to the field together, and Cain murdered Abel. It says it slit his throat. That's what the word actually means. Cain just cut his brother's throat like a sacrifice and left him buried in the ground. He buried him somewhere right out in the fields where no one could see and nobody knew. But God knew. And God said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Now that is what God says to you. Where is the wife you left? Where is the husband? Where is the child? Where are your relations? Where are the people you've been in with? Where are they today? God wants to know from you where they are. He holds you responsible for close people you've been in touch with. Where is Abel, your brother? Cain did the wrong thing. And that's why he's an example to us. What Cain said is, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? Am I shepherd of this shepherd? He didn't like shepherds that much, and he didn't think much of his brother's trade. And he said, am I shepherd of that thing? I'm certainly not. Now, it's possible to answer God with great pride. That was Cain's downfall, pride. Or you can answer him like Adam had answered him and begin to admit it. Cain never repented. You have to repent before God will have any dealings with you. That's the first step. We repent. Now, how do we repent? Well, here in this town, I was vicar of a big church. It's a big church in size, not in numbers of people. And in that church years ago, there was a man who came who preached the gospel. Now the church had never heard it anything like that before. They stoned his vicarage and broke the windows when he did it. They were so angry. And do you know what? One day when he'd been preaching, the church warden came up to him. And by the way, his preaching was wonderful. And at least 1,000 people in Wolverhampton found the Lord Jesus Christ through his preaching. Now, this man came up to him in the vestry afterwards and he said, Vicar, what must I do to give my heart to the Lord Jesus to be saved? And Mr. Boltby was a man of very few words and he said to him, you know what you should do? And the man dropped his head and he turned round and left the vestry and walked home to his wife. He was a policeman and he told her what he'd been up to. He confessed it. He then came back again to the vestry and he again said to Mr. Boltby, I don't know if it was that day or another day, can I be saved now? And Mr. Boltby said, yes, if you'll put your trust in the Lord Jesus and put away sin, then you may be saved. And the man was saved. We knew his daughter, she was a missionary in Burma, and we knew the family. Through him, through that man, much good was done. Now Cain took the opposite line. He flared God. Am I my brother's keeper? How should I know? And God had warned Cain earlier than this that sin crouched at the door. At the door of your heart is a demon, because that crouching was how demons behaved, is an official of Satan, for that crouching was how officials behaved in the very early days. They sat or crouched at the doors of temples and buildings. It's like a wild beast crouching down, ready to spring. And sin lies just outside your heart, and he's ready to spring into it. To jump in, and you won't defeat it. Satan's stronger than you. What's his strength? He's subtle. What's his subtlety? Well, he has a whole armor of subtlety. But he deceives everyone. He tells them he doesn't exist. He tells them that he's useless and has all these pitchforks and funny dressings up and everything. And everybody laughs at him that he's real. And he's deceiving people. He does it by deceit. Now, God said sin lies at the door. And Cain had taken no notice and gone off and murdered his brother. And when God offered him the chance to repent, he refused it. And at that point, God said, your brother's blood calls to me out of the ground. Now, I want to stop there because we're nearly finished. Abel's blood called for vengeance. And the God of vengeance, for God isn't just God of love, he avenges sin. God, the God of vengeance, saw that blood. When a woman is raped, when a child is abused in a home, God hears. That one may scream with no one to hear, or cry through the night in shivering in some bath, or dressed in a plastic bag without food to eat, but God hears. God is going to avenge. Jesus called him the avenger of all such. God has vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We are not to have vengeance. We are to love one another. But God will avenge. Now God watched that scene, and Abel's blood called for vengeance. But you know, it says in the Bible, the blood of Jesus, who died on the cross, speaks better things than the blood of Abel, because it speaks of pardon. God's vengeance for my sin fell on Jesus. And on that cross, God slew the Lord Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin. And he died there in my place so that I could walk free and be forgiven everything, whilst he bore the full brunt of the whole wrath of Almighty God everlasting. That is a terrible punishment. The nails and the scourging and the hanging on a cross were nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus bore in his spirit. It's like this, Luther put it, that on him came down the whole cess and filth of the whole world on that pure head, and he bore the sin of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The difference is in our hands. Repent or not, act like Cain or not. Now, what had angered him so much about Abel? Well, I'll tell you what it was. The Bible speaks of Abel as a prophet. It says he speaks, and Abel spoke. It says clearly in I think it's Luke 11 and verse 49, of the prophets whose blood was spilt, beginning at righteous Abel. So Abel was a prophet, and Abel had obviously spoken, and that speaking had angered his brother. He hated the words that his brother said, so he killed him. Now, that's happening right across the world. We lose every day as Christians somewhere around 250 people in this world killed for nothing else than being Christians, for believing in the Lord Jesus. The worst country at it is Laos and Cambodia. All the Arab countries are at it. India is doing it. Vietnam is doing it. Mexico is doing it. Colombia is doing it. There are many, many countries doing this. In Russia there are Christians killed. We have freedom here, and we will be very wise to use that freedom, because its days are limited. And in that freedom we have the freedom to repent, to return to God, and to believe in him. And like Eve did, would that her son had behaved like her. Amen.